All right, Love Chapel Hill church family. We are going to, over these next few moments, move into a time where we're going to be making a family announcement here. And so we just ask for your prayers as we talk through this. And we ask for the Holy Spirit's leading and direction. Jesus, lead us. We are your people. And we do trust you, just like we sang from the bottom of our hearts. We trust you. And we know that you are good to us and that you will never fail us. We trust in that. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Well, these are days like this are, I've got a really, really heavy heart this morning. I love y'all. I love you so much. I love this church. We, with this heavy heart, I'm coming this morning to announce that Amber and Emmy Lou and myself are facing a transition in ministry. And so after 9 years of Love Chapel Hill, later this summer, we're going to be leaving. And it is all on great terms. I had, I was telling a friend that, and they said, is something wrong? Nothing is wrong. As a matter of fact, over the past few months, the Lord and I have wrestled, and I've prayed things like, please don't do this to me. And he is faithful, and I've been reminded so much of Romans and seeing that the Lord is telling me, when you surrender to me like I'm asking you to, there can be a lot of uncertainty, and sometimes it's scary, but he promises to complete the journey and to keep working on me and to keep leading me no matter where I go and no matter where he takes me. I know the same holds for Love Chapel Hill, that when we surrender to the Lord, as this church is surrendered and as my life is surrendered, it is a journey, and that takes some weird turns sometimes. This one was a bit unexpected for me. I was telling the staff that I recently was cleaning out something and saw an evaluation that we did as a staff last year. I think it was last year, sometime. And it was like, how long do you see yourself here? And it was a couple of different options there. And the last option was 20 years to life. And that's where I've seen myself. Amber and I love this church. This is our home. You are our people. The Lord put Chapel Hill on my heart years and years ago, long before Matt and I were able to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. It is so beautiful to see what 9 years has done and what the Lord has done and how he has been faithful here for 9 years. For me, back early, late winter, I started feeling the Lord pull and do some things in my life, and I felt like I was going to mentors and talking to them, and I really felt like the Lord was drawing me to the mountain to, and maybe, one of my mentors said, well, maybe what's going on with you, maybe these emotions that you're feeling is because it's something that you wouldn't naturally surrender to the Lord. Maybe it's something that you wouldn't naturally seek him out. And I realized, whoa, maybe, so I go to the Lord and say, what is it, Lord? Maybe is there something in my life that I've not surrendered to you? Is that why we're in this season together of what you're doing in me right now? And I started feeling him say to me, prepare for a transition. And it turns out, I think around that same time, he had spoken to Matt and was preparing Matt's heart. And we hadn't had a conversation yet. And that was tough because when I knew that was coming, and when I knew even before a door had opened, the Lord had opened the door for something else, I knew this was going to be one of the hardest things I've done in my 15 years of ministry, was to leave the place that I love and a church that, and I don't mind saying this, even though this is my church, a church that I view is dang near perfect. And a people who are so good. And a movement that is so strong. But Love Chapel Hill has said from the beginning that we wanted to be a sending church. Mm-hmm. And that was in the early days when we were writing and dreaming this thing up, mm-hmm. that we would be a church who sends people out. I don't know. I mean, I never envisioned that I would be going. Mm-hmm. But here we are. And the beauty of this is these things that I love about this community, the DNA, the structure of this church, just like we get excited about sending folks out. Now I get to be a part of this movement and taking Love Chapel Hill, taking the DNA of this church and going and planting that in another spot. And so we are excited about that. It is people, you know, as I've told some friends, they've said, I'm so excited for you. At this point, things are super bittersweet for me, so I haven't gotten excited yet. I'm so caught up on, I love this place. Mm. But I know great days are ahead. Mm. I am excited about where Love Chapel Hill is at and excited about its future. Mm. And the team here is stronger than it has been ever in 9 years. And so I'm so excited about what's ahead for Love Chapel Hill. And also, the Lord has spoken to Matt and I both over and over again through this process, mm-hmm. and given us a peace and a calmness because his favor and his hand are on Love Chapel Hill. He has met every need that we have faced in 10 years, you know, just since it was dreamt, every need. Even being in this place was kind of a miracle, and he has done that over and over and over for us. Mm-hmm. He has met every need. And so I'm excited to see, as God is writing this story, I'm excited to see what's ahead for Love Chapel Hill. I'm encouraged right now, because I know things are going to be great. And one last thing is this, and I'm sure I'm probably leaving a lot of stuff off, but one last thing is this. I don't know what's, other than the ministry assignment that we are going to, which is still local, by the way, not local like down the street, but we are within a little over an hour away from here. And so Amber and I plan to keep our roots planted here. This is home for us. And so I'm going out on a mission, and I'll be gone for a while. But this is home, and so we plan to continually stay committed to this community. And I don't mean like I'm gonna be here all the time, but mm-hmm. when there are events, we want to be here. I intentionally, if you recall, we knew we were gonna be leaving, but Emily was dedicated just a month ago, and I did that for a reason. It's not to play a trick on you, mm-hmm. but I want you to be a part of her life, mm-hmm. because this is home for us. And you are the folks who prayed for our baby when we spent years trying to have a baby. And when we faced miscarriages, you were the folks who prayed through us for that. And when this miracle arrived, I want you to be the folks who continue to pray and raise her. You are the folks who walked with me when I battled cancer. And you were so good to me. And you were so near to me. I love you deeply. I love you. And my heart will always be here with this place. Because you're my people and this is my place. And though we go out, I find it very strange, and I've told Matt this, I don't know what to make of it. I really don't. But I do find it very strange that the Lord has given me a long-term vision for Love Chapel Hill. I don't want to talk a lot about that because I don't want to put words in God's mouth. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I've continually prayed is, Lord, if you take me away for a season, will you bring me back home? And I don't know what that'll look like. But you guys pray for me. You pray for Amber and Emmylou, mm-hmm. as we go out. And no doubt we will continually be lifting Love Chapel Hill, mm-hmm. in our prayers and walking with you, mm-hmm. from afar and near when we come to visit. You are home, you are our people, and we love you dearly. I'm so grateful for the past 9 years to have gotten to be a part of your pastoral team and to walk with you and to be loved by you. I love y'all. Love you, man. Thank you.
Lord. Love you too, man. Love you too. In just a moment, in fact, we're going to go ahead and invite Amber and Emmylou to join us up here. And as a church family, we're going to gather around Jason and Amber and Emmylou and pray over them. And Jason's sending out Sunday is going to be July 15th. So we have about a month and a half as a church family that we're going to be intentionally walking through that period of showing gratitude, appreciation, and love for the 9.5 years that these three now have poured into this place. And like Jason said, he's a part of this since before the beginning of this church. And I was thinking this week about a meeting that he and I had at Mama Dips, which is a great place to have a meeting. And so we're sitting there eating chicken and dumplings and dreaming about the possibility of planting a church in this town that we both love so much. And we're thrilled and honored that they've been a part of our team for these years. And we will not be able to say thank you enough to them. But over this next season, we're going to do our best to express that as best we can. I'm going to invite you now, any who want to join us, to come around and join us on the platform. And Emmylou's going to rock the mic for a minute. That is awesome. And yeah, some can come on the platform. Others, you may want to stand in the aisles if you want, or you can even stand where you're at. And we're going to pray together over this family that we love so much. Jesus, we thank you that from the very beginning of the story that you wrote for humanity, over and over again, you emphasize the power of family and how you've moved in this world through family. We are your family. Jason and Amber and Emmylou are a crucial part of our family. God, we bless them today. We bless them for their obedience. We bless them for the depth of relationship that they've had with you to be able to hear your voice. We bless them for the willingness to wrestle with your voice, even when it felt like what you were saying isn't what they wanted to hear. We bless them for the way that they've walked together with people through this congregation, for the way that they sought out wisdom and sought out your direction. We bless them for the moment of obedience, of saying yes and surrendering, even though it meant stepping into something that is uncertain. So today we bless them. We just pray that over them again and again. We bless them and we pray that you would bless them. We thank you for the blessing that they've been to us. And I pray that as their church family, you would give us wisdom and you would give us clarity on how we can best walk with them as we send them off and as we continue to stand behind them and as we continue to stand beside them no matter what comes next. We love them. And I pray, Lord, that you would somehow translate to their hearts the depth of that reality of how much love we have for them. We thank you for them. In your name we pray. Amen. Jesus, please help us as we continue today. We pray that you would just direct us and speak for us today and speak to us. It's your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me say something else before we dive into a short message today. I promise, y'all. I promise. Sorry. One of the things that I want to speak blessing over Jason and Amber about and honor them publicly about, it's not just how much work that they've poured in over the 9.5 years and the commitment that they've put into this place and to us as a church. I also really want to honor Jason for the way that very early in this process, he and I got to walk through this together. And he was very sensitive to that and wanted to make sure that as God was moving things in him, he wanted to be very careful that this didn't come as a surprise to Love Chapel Hill, and that what was happening in his life would be a blessing in what's happening at Love Chapel Hill. And so I just really honor him for that. And those, for 3 months, we've been praying and talking together. Many nights after our Monday night staff meetings, the two of us would stay behind for 2 hours and more, just talking, praying. We went through a short season when we knew it was coming close to decision time, where we both committed to pray and fast together. And so I just really honor him for that and think that shows a lot of leadership maturity in thinking about this congregation and this church family. Feel free if you have questions. Don't hesitate to reach out to us. We're all, you know, I know that there are a lot of questions. And so we're going to be talking through those things. Just a couple of just to answer some questions that I'm sure are on the top of your heads right now and on top of your hearts. You know, after the moment of being excited for them and praying over them and blessing them, you're probably wondering what's going to happen next for worship at Love Chapel Hill. And you know, I think it's very natural to ask the question, what about us? Let's say Jason and Amber and Emmylou are us, all right? So our very first concern is in what God is doing in their lives and the way that this is going to be a new and uncertain season for them. And so we're thinking about them, and we're really taking that to heart as we pray for them through this. So they are us. We've been talking through plans about how we navigate this together as a church family. And so there are no long-term plans. And our thought right now is to that we're going to have volunteer teams. We have an amazing team of volunteers. And they're going to step up and going to be leading over the course of this summer after July 15th and lead us through this next season as we seek God's guidance and we discern where we go next with that, okay? So that is for several reasons, and one of those reasons is because we really want to honor Jason and Amber in this time, and we want to intentionally pause in this, okay? We're not rushing ahead as a church family because our job right now is to be behind them and support them. And the very first conversation that we had, I felt God speak that to my heart. I felt him to speak peace. And I felt him say, I'm moving in their lives, and I will take care of you as well, okay? So we're at peace. We're at peace, and we celebrate them. So that's where we are. Today, we're going to dive in about 10 minutes here, okay, to the beginning of a sermon series that before the first conversation that Jason and I had about this, I felt the Lord leading us and stirring. Every summer, most summers, we go through a specific book and we spend time in a specific book. And I felt several months back God speaking to me about what book we should go through for the course of the summer. And that book is the book of Exodus. It's okay to laugh at that, all right? To find the humor in amen. And to find the humor in that. And so that's where we're going to be headed. And this was the first Sunday we were planning that after we got through May and worship at the well, then we would start in this series. And so obviously, as it became clear that this is the Sunday that we were going to be making this family announcement, I'm like, that we can't do that, all right? We can't do that. But I felt like the Lord was saying, just take that beginning. Just look at the beginning. And I've got something there for you. And here's our word to us today, his word for us today, all right? From Exodus chapter 1, we're just looking at the first five verses, and this is the Lord speaking into us and speaking into Jason and speaking into Amber and speaking into Emulu. Here's what he has to say. These are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob, each with his family. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. The descendants of Jacob numbered 70 in all. Joseph was already in Egypt. What in the world does that have to do with us and where we're at? Here's what I feel the Lord leading us in today. The book of Exodus is an epic narrative that has captured the imagination of people, that has shaped world history for several thousands of years. It's an incredible story. It's full of drama and suspense. It's full of the miraculous action of God's own hand in an undeniable way. It's the story of God's divine rescue of his people out of slavery and oppression. It's a story about the power dynamics of an earthly empire versus the kingdom of God. It's one of the most famous, most beautiful stories that the world has ever heard. And it seems like these first five verses are a terrible way to start a great story like that. It's weird, right? That's not how you start an epic narrative like that. It's a weird beginning. But here's the thing. It's a strange start because it's not the start. It's a strange way to start a story because the story doesn't start right here. Okay? Here's what's going on with that. The beginning makes no sense as a beginning because it's not the beginning. It's not the beginning of the story. This story that we're about to dive into over the course of the summer, it begins this way because it assumes that you know what happened before it. It assumes that you know the story before it. It's saying this is not a new story. This is a continuation of what God has already been doing. And now the story is taking a next step. So it begins in that strange way because it assumes you already know what happened before. In fact, in the Jewish mindset and the Jewish understanding, they know that Exodus is not designed to be a standalone book. They see it as part of a larger collection. This is the second book in a collection of five books that are often called the Pentateuch or the Torah. Or sometimes the books of Moses is how they're known. It's the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And so it's the second in a part of a series that's this collective that's meant to be understood together. And so that's why it starts that way. It assumes you know that this isn't the start, that God's already been moving, and you need to know what God has already been up to. In the beginning, in the book that comes before, God creates the world and humanity out of his overflowing love, and he makes a covenant with humanity. Even after humanity breaks covenant with him and we fall into sin, God makes a covenant that he's going to reconcile us, and he makes a promise that he's going to redeem us and he's going to rescue us and bring us back into a healed relationship with him. And then we see him beginning to do this through the story of Noah as he renews the world in this moment that seems like chaos, but out of it comes new creation. And we see it in the story of Abraham. Abraham listens to God. He's a person who walks with God, and he hears God's voice. And even when God tells him to step into something that is completely uncertain, that seems like it's not what he would want to do, that just seems like it's completely off of the map, Abraham obeys and he listens to the Lord and he steps out in obedience and he goes where God tells him to go. And that's what Jason's doing, and that's what Amber is doing in this process. And guess what happens when Abraham steps out and he goes where God tells him to go? God goes with him, and God's already gone before him. And God is faithful to him through that process. And he provides in abundant ways. And God makes the kind of promise to Abraham that only God can make and that only God can keep. And he does keep it. He provides for Abraham and Sarah against impossible odds. And he blesses them as a family so that they can bless the world. And through Abraham comes that promise of Isaac. And through Isaac comes Jacob and Esau. And then through Jacob comes 12 sons that will become the 12 tribes of Israel. And one of those sons of Jacob is named Joseph. And he's betrayed by his own brothers, and he's sold into slavery into, guess where? Egypt. But God is with Joseph all the way through his story. God is with him. And as he's sold into slavery in Egypt, we see God working behind the scenes. He's orchestrating, he's navigating. And in that process, he elevates Joseph all the way from being a slave to becoming second in command under Pharaoh over all of Egypt, the most powerful empire in the world at that time. And Joseph was known throughout the book of Genesis for having divine dreams, God speaking to him and giving him visions through the process of dreams. And one of the dreams that he has, Joseph and interprets. God speaks through dreams, and Joseph interprets that about a famine that's going to come and is going to strike that entire region. And through that divine wisdom that God gives Joseph, he's able to prepare all of Egypt for this famine that is coming. And he comes up with this brilliant plan, and he advises Pharaoh in how to store up enough of a surplus for Egypt to be able to not only survive, but to thrive even in the midst of a massive famine. And when that famine actually comes and hits, Egypt is taken care of. Egypt is provided for. The region around, the people from the region around start to come to Egypt because that's where they know the provision is. And among those people who make their way to Egypt to be provided for are Jacob and his sons, Joseph's own brothers, who come. And when they arrive in Egypt, they don't only find food, they find their estranged brother, Joseph, in this place where he could punish them for what they did to him, or he could show mercy and grace. And out of the heart of God, he shows mercy and grace to them. And God uses that entire situation to save Jacob and to save the 12 who become the tribes of Israel. The point is this. Exodus is not the start of the story. And the same God that promised and provided and led his people in Genesis, it's still in control as the book of Exodus begins. And as it moves into a new chapter, as it moves into a new part of the larger story, God hasn't lost a step. God hasn't lost his way. He's going to continue to move. He's going to continue to provide. He's going to continue to lead into the next part of the same story as it continues to unfold. And the same is true for Jason and Amber and Emmy Lou, and the same is true for us. We're going to come together again as a family today around the Lord's table, the ultimate reminder of his provision for his people. While we were not only slaves in Egypt, but while we were slaves to sin, Jesus Christ offered himself as the sacrifice, his body broken so that we could be healed, and his blood poured out as a sign of the new covenant that we are God's people and he is continuing to care for, to provide for, and to lead his people, and to save us, to save us. We trust in the Lord. We trust in the sacrifice of Jesus as our salvation, and we embrace it, and we celebrate it today as we come to his table. In just a moment, we're going to invite you forward. There'll be two stations, one on this side, one on this side. You'll come up and tear off a piece of the bread. No small pieces, all right? Tear off a big old chunk. Dip it in the cup. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If you need a gluten-free option, that will be available for you. Also available for you, as we do every Sunday when we're here in the theater, there will be people down front here to pray for you. And some of you may need that in a special way today. Some of you may need for them to pray over you. For some of you, you may feel the need to pray for Jason and Amber and Emmylou and pray for God's continued provision and direction for them. And some of you may feel led to pray for the future of Love Chapel Hill. So as always, there will be people here at the front to pray with you if you need that today. Come to the Lord's table. We celebrate today because he's good and he provides. And he has never failed us before, and he will not fail us now. Amen.